On the program yesterday, we talked about some good news for the endangered Katipol spider, which had found a new home in the transformed coastline in Marlborough following the Kaikoura earthquake. During that interview, my guest Mark Anderson mentioned the last recorded death in New Zealand from a Katipol bite was in 1901. Well, listening to that show was Rita Haig, and she got in touch with an interesting take on it. Rita joins me now. Hello there.
Hello.
So why did you email us?
Well, I mean, there wouldn't have been many people killed by a Katipol spider bite in 1901, would there?
So I hope not.
It'd be my grandmother.
Oh, Rita. I'm actually, you know, it's a novelty, but I'm really sorry to hear that. That would have been a big
well,
deal for the family.
My history, I would imagine,
yeah.
Although my father had been born by then, so maybe not.
What do you know about your grandmother?
I've just been ratting through some information that I do have, and she was Dora Annie Miller, her name was, and she came with her family on the boat, the Warwick, which was a ship, of course, sailing ship, in 1879. There were five children, and Dora was the oldest at 10 years. Oh, sorry, no, she was the second oldest at 10 years. Mm. So, and before that, the family had gone to Canada, which I thought was interesting, from London. The father was a teacher, and they decided it was too cold over there, so they went back to London. This was in the sailing ship time, and then decided to come to New Zealand. So that's how she got here, and she, at the age of 20, I think she was, when she married my grandfather, who was a Dane, and that was a very interesting story as well.
We might get to that if we've got time, but we better hear about this incident with the Katipol.
Yeah. They were over at a place called Hatfield, which is Peka Peka or below Otaki, and he took the family out for a picnic on the Waikanae beach. And she was sitting down and feeding the baby, which was he was only about 14 months at the time, and suddenly felt unwell and felt that she had something wrong with her neck and asked to be taken home because she felt sick. And my grandfather took her and the children back and got the doctor, and by 8 o'clock she had died.
Oh, boy.
That quick.
Yeah. You know about this because of a letter from that 14-month-old.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The letter was written when he was 90. An amazing letter, which is quite a treasure for me.
Yeah, so he had heard the story from his family, presumably.
Yes, from his older sister, who was 11 years older than him.
Was part of the problem with the Katipol bite that it was the location of it?
Yes, evidently, because it was on the neck. You know, and that sort of makes sense to a layman, I don't know.
Well, the doctor said it was because it was so close to her brain. Yeah.
And I know blood poisoning can be pretty quick.
Yeah. And Mark yesterday was telling us they've got antidotes these days in hospital, but not much like that.
You'd have to be pretty quick, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. So tell us what happened next then, as far as you can work it out.
Well, that's the weird part. I mean, he would have had the whole family with him, five or six children. So he took the body back to Clareville on the other side of the island.
Is that Wairarapa, right?
Wairarapa.
Yeah. From Waikanae.
I presume he would have gone through the Ikaterras and up the
Rimatakas,
And looking at the death certificate, there were 6 days before from the event until until she was buried. So how long the trip took, one wouldn't know. I presume they embalmed them then. I don't know.
Bit of a trek, though, eh?
Heck of a trek.
Mm.
Did the children go at the same time? Did he leave them behind on the other side of the island? And I don't know. It says on the death certificate that she died at Hatfield. Well, in Otaki, there's a Hatfield Hall. I don't know if it was actually a place or a premises or where that was.
I have to say, Rita, you've done a pretty good job anyway, though, with your detective work. Are you a bit of a historian?
Well, I'm interested. No, I just wish I was more clever at this, because the more I go into it, the more I think all the questions, you know, the more answers you get, the more questions.
Did you feel like you were travelling through time reading that letter from your uncle?
Well, I remember that uncle, and he was an amazing man, very down to earth. He was a carpenter as well.
Yeah.
Seemed to be that carpenters and farmers, that side of the family.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. He certainly was a character.
And did it become a bit of a legendary tale in your family about your grandmother dying from a katipo spider bite?
Well, any time I've mentioned it, it's always caused a lot of interest. Put it that way. But because I'm last of this generation, in fact, when I talk to my peers about that generation behind me, they presume I'm talking about my grandparents. Because I was born late in my parents' life, I'm 75 now.
Yeah.
You know, I can say, well, my mother was born 1900, which is quite a long time ago now. That was almost two centuries ago. Well, yeah.
We've got a pretty important guest waiting, the Right Honourable Helen Clark, but I am pretty keen to hear about your grandfather. What do you know about him, Rita?
Oh, goodness. He arrived in a... Well, I'll just read this little bit that came from Uncle Norman's letter.
Yeah.
He arrived in a four-masted ship in the early... in 1870s. He and a mate stole a leg of ham, hiked over the Rimutuckers and ended up at Tanui, a small settlement between Masterton and Castlecliff.
Stole a ham?
Yeah. Well, I had to live on something.
Okay.
He and his mate set up a business on the side of the Wakara Whareama River making bricks. A flood came through and washed their brick business away, and while standing on the side of the river surveying the damage, a man came up and asked him if he would like a job surveying the 40-mile bush. John said he was a carpenter, not a surveyor, and the man said, that'll do, so he was employed as a surveyor. But the job included killing pigs, wild cattle and catching eels to provide meat for the workers, 30 shillings a week.
What a life, eh?
Yeah, and it just goes on and on. Back at Tanui, he got a job on a big station owned by a Mr. Monsell called Typo, and I think that property is still under that name. He was employed as a carpenter, and this is where he met Dora Annie Miller, and she was employed as a seamstress, and they were married 1881, with a question mark there. He built a house in Tanui, he made coffins, he was employed building a school, he served on the school committee, rowed with the head teacher who smacked kids who brought horses because he wanted the horse paddock for the grass for his cows. At a workshop in Tanui. He worked on railway construction, road construction, took over a hotel 15 miles north of Castlecliff.
Did it all, eh?
And the ferry over the Waihonga River. It goes on and on.
I presume you had to be pretty multi-talented back in those days just to survive and earn a living.
And he was only a little man. He was a twin. He was a Dane.
Hey, I'm sorry to hear that he lost his wife to a katipo, though. And
Well, he was married a year later, and she died of measles.
Oh, boy.
And then he married again in 1905. So it goes on.
Hey, nice to talk to you. Nice to talk to you, Rita.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse.
And if anyone's listening and they can connect any of the dots here or offer any further information, we'll pass them on to you, okay?